This sermon is titled Psalms of Orientation or Life's Good.
It was a sunny summer day, not a cloud in the sky. The wind gently rocked the trees in the park. Life was everywhere. The aroma of barbecues, the sound of children playing, and then at the edge of the park, the sound of shouts of joy when the basket went through the chain net and the game was over. We rented a little green paddle boat and we made our way around the lake. I put my hand in the water and I splashed Stacy, Trey, and Irie. It was one of those days where we didn't even worry about getting sick or staying wet. Pure joy was in the air. And because of a little boy named Trey, there was a lot more splashing on that little green paddle boat, as you can imagine. Then we ate our lunch underneath the shade of an oak tree. Irie jumped up into my lap. She sat on my right thigh, then she moved to my left thigh, then she twisted around, then she turned around, and then she fidgeted, squirmed, and wormed until finally she continued to nibble her lunch. She batted her little eyelashes at me, and she smiled. Then, as she squirmed and wormed for another round, she looked at me quietly and said, "Daddy, I tooted." We both laughed, and without missing a beat, she puckered her lips, lifted her head, and gave her daddy a kiss. Moments like these wow us with wonder at life. Moments like these, we burst aloud into song deep within us and say, "O Lord, our Maker, how majestic is your name in all of the earth." Moments like these, we feel life filled with beauty, with love, with truth, and we can't help but sing, but dance, but tell the world something good is happening in our midst, and we can't fully explain it. This is what the Psalms of Orientation do. Psalms where life is good. There's a sense of harmony to the universe. The ground that we're walking on is stable, secure. There's a sense of assurance. There's a sense that God is there, and we can dance and joy without fear at all. Psalms of Orientation are happy psalms. But as we've come to learn, the psalms are spiritual food as we journey with the ache. No matter what aches and pains confront us, the psalms meet us in the depth of our pain. And as we learned about the psalms of disorientation, where life is dreary and bleak, where we can't find our footing for anything, we learned that life is not good. But we found out that we were given the ability to voice these pains, these frustrations to God. We were given the ability to be okay with pain and darkness, to be okay with these movements that happen to all of us. And we shout aloud, my God, why have you forsaken us when we're in these moments? And we say, how long, O Lord, will this last forever? But there's another movement in the Psalms. We find ourselves surprised by love. We find ourselves taken aback by the love that God brings, the chesed, the steadfast love of God that comes like rain over and over again to our lives. And our hearts begin to walk again. We begin to find that life could have the beauty that it once did. But then in this last movement, we've completely made the shift. Life is drenched in the reality of love. Life is wowed with wonder of what it could be. Life is full of meaning and purpose. Where the meaning and purpose seems shattered here, the meaning and purpose is clear. Life is secure. Things are good in this spot of life. And so Psalm 8 declares that. And we join with the chorus of Bono's U2 in that passion-filled voice that he has and say, "It's a beautiful day. Don't let it get away. It's a beautiful day." The Psalms of orientation, no matter what the weather says, no matter what the season of our souls are, invite us to lift up our souls and to be wowed with wonder of the gifts of life that come over and over again. And in the first verse of that beautiful psalm, a verse that starts the psalm and the verse that ends the psalm, it says, "O Lord, our Maker, how majestic is your name in all the earth." That word majestic, it just shimmers to me today. It sort of just invites this reflection on what does it mean to say that God is majestic? The word has this huge range of meaning that can mean grand, mighty, lofty, splendid, regal, awesome, marvelous, magnificent, exalted, mind-blowing, stunning, and sublime. How majestic, how sublime, how wonderful are you. When we experience those moments on the lake with our sons and with our daughters, those moments in nature underneath oak tree, those moments we can never get back and we can't hold on to, but we can, out of the depth of our being, say, "How majestic is your name in all the earth." It's as if in these moments, there's an added element to the oxygen we breathe. There's an added element, a God element. As we breathe in our lungs, we experience this love and this beauty and this truth that's hard to put into words. The verse goes on. The poet declares, "From the mouths of babies and children, you established might. On account of your foes, you brought an end to the enemy and the avenger." The poet here plays on some of our stereotypes of the most vulnerable among us, babies, and then our stereotypes of warriors and victory and power. And the poet declares that the God who is majestic is a God who, from the mouse, from their spoken cries and coos, to their wonder-filled questions, that's the type that establishes power, not the power of a soldier in warfare. Our God is a God that's unconventional, a God of love who says that the strength comes from babies and children. How many of you have watched a grown man, the chaos and confusion of a grown man's life, become calm the second an infant was put in his arms? How many of you have experienced the calming effect of a new infant in your own life? It's a powerful, powerful thing. And the verse suggests to us that in all the chaos and confusion of our world, that it is God's smallest creatures that bring calm. Then the poet, wowed with wonder, says this, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? What are people that you care for them?" The poet is caught, wowed by wonder, reflecting on this life that we live here, in this moment, in this place, and this time, and we have the gift of living and breathing with one another. The poet is wowed with wonder. Then it continues, and the verse says, "Yet you have made them, human beings, a little lower than God. You crown them with glory and honor. You have given them rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, beasts of the field, birds of the air, fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea." The poet makes this movement from the creation of infants to the wowing in the middle and the process of life, of giving us breath in our lungs and growing up to be human beings, to that process of enjoying land and livestock, enjoying the gifts that we all receive day after day. The poet is wowed, but the poet asks us for a kind of stewardship. We are given the keys to this life. If God has made a master playground for all people to play in, we get to go play in God's playground, in this beautiful creation We are given full reins to play, to run, to play hide and seek, to jump, to dance with joy. But we do it as good stewards. We care for the earth. We care for animals. We do it in the right ways, the ways of the God of love that we know. And as we are given these keys, we are given the awesome responsibility of participating in this world. God has gifted us with breath in our lungs and with hands. And some of us have different talents and skills. Some of us work with music. Some of us work with people. Some of us work with words. Some of us work with the very earth and ground. Some of us work with many other things. And this is a gift. We can't hold on to it. It's not ours. It's given to us day after day to breathe, to live, to marvel, to be wowed with wonder at the gift. When I think about this gift, I'm reminded of this essay that I read a long time ago by C.S. Lewis called The Weight of Glory. In this essay, he comes to this conclusion point, and he says this: we do not want to see beauty, though God knows even that is bounty enough. We want something else which can hardly be put into words, to be united to the beauty we see, to pass into it, to receive it into ourselves, to bathe in it, to become part of it. C.S. Lewis captures the feeling of that psalm. We see the creation around us, and we were made to go play in it. We were made to enjoy it with friends and family, with four-wheelers, with camping trips. We were made to relish in all the beauty that is around us, not just to marvel at and look at it, but to be a part of it in every way possible. This week, I got to watch at Rifle Middle School Wyatt Carter play basketball. Now, Wyatt plays on the middle school team there. Now, there's 35 kids on the team, and they only play 4 6-minute quarters, so they only get to play a very short amount of minutes. So you can imagine, they practice hours and hours every day, and Wyatt knew from the start of the game he got 6 minutes. 6 minutes with his family and friend. And we all came, we all cheered. Wyatt went crazy. He defended, you have never seen, every second he got on that floor, he was chasing the ball around. He was passing the ball to his opponents. He was defending his defender. He was jumping for rebounds. When he was done with his 6 minute, he was dripping with sweat because he made the most of the moment that he had. He didn't look at it like a parent or like me look at it. You're only letting those kids play for 6 minutes? He looked at it as, I get 6 minutes to play this game, and I'm not going to waste a second of it. And this year, this summer, y'all know about the beautiful Centennial Park that they built. We had a summer concert series. And in this summer concert series, there were many Rifle families that went there just to enjoy the music, to enjoy the food, to enjoy the friendship. It was a beautiful thing. And this one particular moment, there was a man that you all know named Gary Miller. Now, Gary is one who enjoys life. He has learned to sing and to dance no matter what, to rejoice and celebrate that he is made in this earth. Here's what I caught Gary doing. Two quick comments. First, I'm really, really, really glad he didn't take his shirt off. Second comment, I forgot what I was going to say. I'm thinking of him taking his shirt off. Oh, it was good too. Gary celebrated in this moment of life. He danced. Oh yeah, the second comment is that he calls this Gary Gaga, just to be clear with everyone. So Gary celebrated life, what life had given him. Gary said in that moment, the depth of his soul was saying, "Oh Lord, our Maker, how majestic is your name in all of the earth." The poem just invites us to be a part of creation, to do sometimes foolish things, to laugh, to joy, to sing with one another. And so as we conclude today, I just have a series of questions of where in our life have we done foolish things that celebrate the gift of this life? When is the last time you watched the sun rise? When is the last time you stood outside in the rain and let it drench you? When's the last time you put on an extra pot of coffee and marveled at the stars? When's the last time you pulled your car over and watched the deer or other wildlife play? When is the last time you paid attention to the wildflowers on the mountainsides in spring? Did you stop to take a picture? Did you smell them? When is the last time you held a newborn in your arms? When is the last time you watched the buffalo herd on I-70 as you near Denver? When is the last time you felt the breeze of the ocean and heard the rhythms of the waves? When is the last time you started a bonfire in your backyard just because? When's the last time you let the dishes go? You said no to all the responsibilities and played with your children or grandchildren? When is the last time, like Gary Miller, you got your Gary Gaga on in Central Park and let loose to celebrate this great life that we have? Oh Lord, our Maker, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen.